بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today inshallah we will continue to learn about the diseases of the hearts, and class of today is related to envy, one of the very serious diseases of the heart, and this is class number 5 regarding envy, and the title of the class is Don't Envy This Lucky Billionaire. Today inshallah we will continue to learn about envy, which means the dislike to see a person receiving a bounty and the wish that he will lose it. That is to say, the wish of the deprivation of the blessings of the envied persons. Last week we learned about medicines to get rid of envy. We learned that these medicines are, number one and the most important, is the realization of the reality of the worldly life, and that it has no value in Allah's sight, so there is no need to waste your life in the race of the worldly life. Number two, the realization that the envious is objecting Allah's distribution of the blessings. That is to say, the envious person is objecting the knowledge, wisdom, and Allah's justice. This is against the belief in Allah's oneness. Also, we learned last week that the Holy Quran is the source which teaches the truth regarding the value of this life, the life to come, the reality of happiness, the importance of having a good heart. Through the Quranic teaching, we can realize the importance of having a clean heart and free of envy. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about medicines to cure the envious heart. And inshallah, today we will learn that the realization that the envious person is the true loser in this life and the life to come will help everyone to purify his heart of envy. Actually, let us learn about the fact that the envious person is the true loser in this worldly life. Actually, he is the true loser because of three major reasons. First, the envious person is never thankful to Allah regarding his provision. Instead, he is always comparing his provision with that of the envied people. Actually, it is the duty of every true believer to realize the greatness of Allah's blessings. In reality, the proof that you are a true believer in the oneness of Allah is that when you will wake up in the morning, you must look around you and say, Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. All praise to Allah that I have my health. All praise to Allah that I have a home to live in and to protect me from living in the streets. All praise to Allah I have clothes to wear. All praise to Allah I have food to eat and I have a refrigerator to keep food for tomorrow. All praise to Allah I have water to pass. All praise to Allah I have a family to live with me and to give me all the support and care. All praise to Allah I have a job, career. All praise to Allah that also I have a car. All praise to Allah that I am not in need of anything or of any person. And the most important is to say, Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. I am a true believer having a Lord who is taking care of all my affairs. I can call on him at any moment. He listens to my call and answers me. He is with me all the time. Actually, what I mentioned now is the proof that I am appreciating the blessings of Allah and I am feeling that Allah is showering me with His mercy and with His provision. This feeling of being thankful to Allah and appreciating the blessings is the source of the feeling of peace, acceptance, well-being, and high mood. Actually, the envious person is losing all these healthy feelings. He is never appreciating Allah's blessings, and he is never thankful to Allah for his blessings. Instead, he is always comparing his blessings with the envied person and feeling that he doesn't have any of the blessings he is looking for. Let us learn about that envious person who is not appreciating the blessings of Allah. We will read from Surah number 14, verse number 34. We will read verse number 32, 33, and 34. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahu alladhi khalaqas samawati wal ard wa anzala minas samai ma'a fa akhraja bihi minas samarati rizqan lakum wa sakhkhara lakumul fulka litajriya fil bahri bi amrihi wa sakhkhara lakumul anhar wa sakhkhara لكم الشمس والقمر دائبين وسخر لكم الليل والنهار وآتاكم من كل ما سألتموه وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها إن الإنسان لظلوم كفار. الله is he who has created the heavens and the earth and sends down water, rain from the sky, and thereby brought forth fruits as provision for you, and he has made the ships to be of service to you, and that they may sail through the sea by his command, and he made rivers also to be of service to you, and he has made the sun and the moon both constantly pursuing their courses to be service to you, and he has made the night and the day to be of service to you, and he gave you of all that you asked for, and if you count the blessings of Allah, never will you be able to count them. This is the fact which every Muslim must remember when he recites the Holy Quran. Allah is reminding every Muslim with this statement, and he gave you of all that you asked for, and if you count the blessings of Allah, never will you be able to count them. Then Allah said, verily, man is indeed an extreme wrongdoer, a disbeliever, as he is a transgressor, and he always forgets the blessings of Allah. Allah the Almighty is clarifying in this verse of the Quran that he is showering every one of us with a lot of blessings, and actually we never appreciate these blessings, even the rain, which sometimes we are actually not having the rain for a long time, as it happened in Houston for around a year. We never think it over that maybe Allah is holding the rain because people are not thankful to Him. Actually, we must appreciate all Allah's blessings, and we must not transgress ourselves by being not thankful to Allah, and we must be not ignorant of Allah's blessings. So number one regarding the envious as a loser is that he is not appreciating Allah's blessings. Second, the envious is a loser as being unthankful for Allah's blessings as well. This will lead to loss of the blessings. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that because the envious is not thankful to Allah regarding the blessings, so Allah will make him to lose these blessings. This is a Quranic rule which Allah mentioned in the same surah number 14, verse number 7.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ تأذن ربكم لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد And remember when your Lord proclaimed If you give thanks I will give you more and if you are thankless Verily, my punishment is indeed severe. This is a clear Quranic rule. Allah's blessings will be increased for those whom they are thankful and grateful. And Allah's blessings will be actually deprived, and the ungrateful, the envious person will be deprived these blessings. The envious person is a true loser, as out of being ungrateful for Allah's blessings, he is threatened to lose them, or that these blessings may become a curse, which bring unhappiness. For example, an envious woman, who is always upset because of her neighbor's beautiful house. Actually, this is a story which is always around. When you notice that, For example, my sister, my friend, whenever I call her, she is always very upset. When you check with her why you are upset, she will tell you because my neighbor has a bigger house than me, more beautiful than me, well furnished than my house. I am very upset. I was the one who deserved that house. Actually, she's never appreciating her small house. Even if it is more comfortable and fulfilling all her family needs, she is always sad and not content. She may keep on fighting with her husband, looking for her house to be changed. Unfortunately, she will be divorced from her husband because of these repeated fightings. And the end will be that she will lose her house, she will lose her family, she will lose her husband, she will lose everything out of being unthankful and ungrateful to Allah regarding His blessings and regarding having a good house. Let us read from the Quran, number 2, verse number 152. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون Therefore, remember me, I will remember you and be grateful to me and never be ungrateful to me. Actually, sister, the problem of the envious person is that he is never content and he is never grateful to Allah. He is suffering the if I only syndrome. What is the meaning of if I only syndrome? If I only syndrome means if I only had a beautiful wife like X person. If I only had sons instead of my daughters like X person. If I only had a bigger house, a better car, more money, better job, And the list goes on and on. The envious is focused on the things that he don't have, instead of being grateful to Allah for the things he already have. The third reason for being a loser in the worldly life is that he is always unhappy, sad, hopeless, despair, and depressed. He is losing the feelings of being content, the feelings of acceptance, peace, tranquility. Rather, he is losing his trust in Allah and his trust in himself. So he is wasting his precious time in despair and sadness, a real great loss. This attitude of being all the time unhappy, not content, ungrateful, sad, depressed, this will lead to the fighting with the family members. So he will lose his relation with his family members. Also, that person, the envious one, is avoided by all the people around him because they know that he is looking for their blessings to be lost. They know that he has a bad heart. They know that he has a dark heart. They know that his heart is full of hatred and envy. So everyone is trying to avoid him. So in conclusion, the envious person will lose the happiness, will lose the trust in Allah, will lose the blessings which Allah is showering him with, and also he will lose his relation with all the people around him. He is the true loser in this worldly life. Regarding the hereafter, the envious is also a true loser. As number one, envy is always followed by hatred, backbiting and suspicions, and all are considered sins. Number two, the envious person is objecting Allah's decree as he is not happy and not accepting the distribution of the blessings, and this is also a great sin. Number three, the envious person is always following Shaitan commands regarding wishing evil for the believer, and this is also a great sin. All these sins will destroy the good deeds of the envious person and will remove them. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, envy is the shaver of the face, and also he said, envy destroys good deeds the way the fire destroys wood. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that the envious person will lose his good deeds. If he is praying, fasting, and giving charity, all these good deeds will be removed by the sins of being envious and being hating the blessings of the other people. Actually, sisters, we must realize that we are always wasting our time feeling envy regarding other people. We always waste our time feeling that there are more other people whom they are more lucky and happy than us. Sometimes we feel that we must compare our life circumstances with those lucky people. Unfortunately, the truth of their life is different. They deserve sympathy and not envy. Today, inshallah, we will have a proof of this fact through learning the real story of the lucky billionaire, Steve Jobs. Today we will learn the story of Jobs, who died last week, October 5th, 2011. And actually, he was characterized as Thomas Edison, who discovered electricity, and Henry Ford of his time. Because, you know, he was very famous. And actually, if we want to know about him, he is an American inventor who is the co-founder, chairman, and chief executive officer of Apple. And actually, he was the executive of Pixar Animation Studio. Actually, let us learn why people were feeling envy towards him at the beginning, and then we will learn his real story so that we will never feel envy towards those very famous people except when we learn their real stories. Actually, he is known as the co-founder and the CEO of the biggest computer company in the world, Apple, and also Disney. He is the largest individual shareholder in Disney. He owns $8 billion. He is the 42nd wealthiest American. He is married and he has 4 kids. And something which is very special for him is that his car doesn't display its license plates. It is the only car in the world no license plates, you know, because it is known it is his own car, the car of Steve Jobs. Actually, when he died, my daughter is living in California, you know, near the place where he died in Palo Alto. She told me all the place, you know, they were having the candles and the flower, and they were moving or going to his house and to Apple, because he is greatly loved by the people of California, and from California to China, you know, passing by, you know, Dubai, Syria, whatever, everyone was crying for him, everyone was upset for him, because he is the one who actually discovered the Mac computer, the iPhone, the iPad, the iPod, whatever he is the one who discovered all of this. Yes, he is the man known for that. And actually, this is You know how people can evaluate his life from outside. He is very lucky man. He has everything. He has the kids. He has the wealth. He has the career. He was very famous. But unfortunately, alaykum as-salam, this is not the reality. Let us now learn the truth about that poor person who actually deserve our sympathy and not our envy. I will tell you in summary about the reality of his life, and then inshallah we will learn it in details. Actually, the truth regarding the life of Steve Jobs is that, number one, he was adopted. Number two, he dropped the college after one semester. Number three, he experienced drugs. Number four, he was following the Buddhism religion. Number four, he had long-term battle with cancer and with liver transplant, and for the last 8 years of his life, he was mostly hospitalized. So let us now learn the real story of Steve Jobs so that we will never feel envy towards any human being in this worldly life, except when we learn the story of his life. And if we don't know the story, and it is not always easy to learn the story of these very famous people, so keep your heart away from envy and just feel content with the decree of Allah. Actually, he was born in San Francisco, and he was adopted by the family of Paul Jobs and Clara Jobs. Actually, his parents, his biological parents, are Abdul Latif Jandali, a Syrian Muslim immigrant to the USA. You see, sister, none of the people know that this fact. Actually, his father became a political science professor in the University of Wisconsin. And his biological father is a Syrian immigrant called Abdul Latif Jandali. You know, actually he immigrated to America and he became a professor in political science in Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin Madison. There he came to know John, who married an American graduate student of Swiss and Germany ancestry. Her name is Joanne Schibel. Actually, he had the relation with this, American graduate student, and he was looking forward to marry her, but her parents refused. You know, her parents refused that she will marry a Muslim immigrant. Accordingly, you know, they had a relation without marriage. And she was pregnant with Steve, and she delivered him in San Francisco. And then she gave him to adoption. So, you know, this is the real story, is that his father is an immigrant Muslim, his mother is American, but, you know, they gave him to adoption. Then, after a few years, her parents died. So she married Abdul Latif. She married the immigrant Syrian, and they moved to Syria. And they lived together for 4 years. There, they had a daughter, her name is Mona. But after 4 years, they divorced again, and they returned to America. The mother married again, and her name became Joanna Simpson. And Mona refused to have the name of her father, Abdul Latif. Her name became Mona Simpson. Now she is a very famous famous author, and she was the one whom tried to find her biological brother. And in 1986, she succeeded to contact Steve Jobs, and they became very close brother and sister. Actually, he also contacted his mother, and he was inviting her to some events, but he refused to communicate with his father ever. Even his father tried to contact him or to communicate with him, he refused completely, actually, and even he never tried, you know, to keep any relation with him. Nobody knows why he had this, aggressive behavior towards his father. His father is still alive up till now, and his father is not having any interviews with any of the news or the television, because he is believing that so long his son, you know, doesn't accept him as a father, he will forget the whole story. He is not looking to have any money from him or any help from him, because his father now actually is working in a boom town hotel casino in Nevada. His father is a very poor man now. You know, he is around 80 years old. He doesn't own anything, but Steve Jobs, until his death, refused to communicate with him. He told him, even if I am on the, bed of death, I will not communicate with you. Okay, so actually this is number one related to him, related to his family. But he was adopted by this Jobs family, and he attended Cupertino Junior High and Homestead High School in Cupertino, California. And actually following the high school graduation in 1972, he enrolled at Reed College in Portland, Oregon. Although he dropped out after only one semester, he continued auditing classes at Reed while sleeping on the floor in friends' rooms or returning Coke bottles for food money and getting weekly free meals at the local Hare Krishna temple. Actually, in 1974, Jobs returned to in 1974, he traveled to India to visit, you know, Neem Karoli Baba, and in search for the spiritual enlightenment. He came back a Buddhist with his head shaved and wearing traditional Indian clothing. Actually, after became, a Buddhist, okay, actually it is mentioned that during this time he experienced with some drugs. And he is mentioning that actually one of the two or three most important things I had done in my life, you know, is that I had drugs. And he said that people around him who don't share his countercultural roots could not fully relate to his thinking. So actually this is the reality regarding that very famous pioneer or very famous person, that he was adopted and he was very poor and he dropped college and he was a Buddhist and he experienced drugs. I think this is, you know, enough for every one of us, you know, actually to feel that his life was not an easy one. He has relation with many celebrities or very famous, you know, Hollywood known stars, women. And actually, when he was at the age of 19, when he was at the age of 36, he married, one of the employees in his company, and he had the three kids. Actually, before that, when he was 20 years old, he had a relation with the Bay Area painter Chris Brennan. He had a daughter, and actually that daughter was raised on welfare when Jobs denied paternity by claiming that he was sterile. Later, he acknowledged Lisa as his daughter. Think that, you know, he had a very complete, you know, he is not a happy person, because if he was a happy person, actually he will not have, you know, these problems in his life. He was very rich. Actually, he was against charity, you know, and he was always in a war with, you know, the very famous owners of the other computer companies, you know, with Bill Gates and with the owner of the Dell company. He was all the time in a war, you know, of wars against them, because they are mentioning that he was a very aggressive and arrogant human being. So actually, you know, sister, this is the reality of his life, okay? And actually, if we want to learn about his honors and public recognition, so that we can imagine how everyone in this life is imagining or is hoping that he can live like his life. This is the outside picture of the life of the people. And as believers in Allah, we are not supposed to judge the life of the people because of their outside picture. Actually, he is the symbol of the company of Abel, and in 1982, he was named the Machine of the Year. He was awarded the National Medal of Technology by President Ronald Reagan in 1984. In December 2007, he was named the most powerful person in business, and actually in December 2007 he was inducted in the California Hall of Fame. He was selected the most admired entrepreneur among teenagers. And also in November 2009, he was named the CEO of the decade, and he was the world's most powerful. He was ranked 17 in the world's most powerful people, and number 42 of the most wealthy human being in the world. Yes, you see, sister. So it looks that he has a lot of honor and public recognition, but now, when he was at the age of 49, he was diagnosed as having a rare kind of cancer, pancreatic cancer. And since then, he had a liver transplant, which was not successful. He was always on leave, having a leave for his health condition from the age of 49 until the age of 56. So for the last 7 years of his life, he was mostly in hospitals and not in a good health shape. But in spite of this bad health, it was the time when he discovered the iPad, the iPod, and the iPhone. He was still working and still discovering while he was very sick, and he died in his home at the age of 56. So, actually, sisters, why I am mentioning this story, because this is a very special case. Even President Barack Obama, he was very sad for the death of Steve Jobs, and he said that we lost a great man today. All the people all over the world, they were very upset for him. But now, let us evaluate his life in reality. He was adopted. He was not happy with this. He was he dropped his college. He was very poor at the time. He has some illegal relations. He experienced drugs. And then he was very sick. And he had a very, a long battle with one of the very bad, forms of cancer, which is pancreatic cancer, and this liver transplant, which he had it in the best institution in the world in Memphis, Tennessee. Unfortunately, it was not successful. So he died at the end. He died not believing, in any of the books of Allah. He died with the religion of Buddhism, which means that, he is not a believer in God, And Allah described in the Quran what will be the destination of those people whom they are not believing in God. Their destination, according to the one who creates the heavens and the earth, is the hellfire. So, sister, this is the reality of the worldly life. This is the reality of the very, very, very rich billionaire. And actually, every one of us must question herself. What kind of food that person, the billionaire, was eating? He was eating food different than all the people which they are eating? No. He was sick for a long time. He was ill for a long time. What car he was using? He was using Mercedes 2008. Mercedes, which you can watch all over Houston. Okay? You can have it with at a lease with $500 per month. Okay? And let us see his picture. This is his clothes for most of his life. Black, high neck and a jeans, and in all the occasions he had this, black high neck And this one is from Levi's, Levi's jeans. You know, can you imagine, sisters, with the $8 billion, he is only wearing this very simple clothes.
According.
It's like the Facebook founder. He's the same way. Old Navy t-shirts and jeans. Or Gap t-shirts and jeans and tennis shoes.
So this is the wisdom of Allah. That when you see these people or you look to them, you feel that I can wear the same clothes and I can have the same car and I can eat the same food. But maybe you are more lucky than them. Okay, nobody knows, you know, what is the real happiness? Who is the one who is real happy? So don't envy those billionaires and don't be sad that you are not wealthy, as they are, because nobody knows the reality of the life of every one of us. If you are having, as I mentioned at the beginning of the class, if you have a home, if you have a car, if you have a family, if you have your health, if you have food and water for the day and a refrigerator to keep the food for tomorrow, be thankful to Allah, because these are great blessings which we never appreciate except when we lose these blessings. Actually, we will continue with the medicines for the envious heart, and we must know that the second or the next medicine is to seek refuge with Allah from the accursed shaitan whenever the thoughts of envy cross your mind. Actually, whenever you feel, as I mentioned now, that Steve Jobs is very lucky, I am not lucky, I feel envy towards him, or my neighbor is very lucky, or my sister is very lucky, whenever these thoughts cross your mind, say, I seek refuge with Allah from the cursed shaitan. Okay, because actually the shaitan is the one who is trying to give you the feeling of envy so that you will feel hatred and you will be upset and you will be unthankful to Allah for this blessing, and this is the goal of the shaitan. All the time try to be busy with something beneficial for you, and all the time remind yourself with the blessings of Allah, and remind yourself that Steve Jobs was very sick, very ill for 8 years with a very severe illness which no one can tolerate except with the mercy of Allah. So try to enjoy the blessings of Allah and say, I seek refuge with Allah from the cursed shaitan. But if the shaitan manages to instill envy in your heart, beware lest you say or do anything which will show your envy. What is the meaning of this? If unfortunately, and because of my weak belief, I have envy in my heart, okay, try all the time not to show it or to do anything so that the sin will not be more and more. Actually, sisters, in Islam, a person will not be brought to account for whatever crosses his mind, but he will be brought to account for what he says and does. The scholars said nobody is free from envy, but the noble person hides it. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that there is a possibility to have envy in your heart, but don't try to follow it with actions, okay, and all the time try to forget it and try to hide it. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, shake hands, exchange gifts, and love one another, for this will dispel hatred. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by Allah, in whose hand is my soul, you will never enter paradise until you believe, and you will not believe unless you love one another. May I tell you something, that if you do, you may love one another, spread salam among you. Actually, sisters, when you say assalamu alaikum to other sisters, from the depths of your heart, you are spreading peace. So you will not feel envy towards that sister. And she will not feel envy towards you, because of assalamu alaikum will give her the feeling that we are sisters, we are true believers, I am not supposed to have bad feelings towards, you know, other believers. Accordingly, whenever you are in the mall, you are in the street, you are in your work, and you have Muslims, If they are not even replying your salam, you must say from the depths of your heart, Assalamu alaikum, and the angel will respond if the other sister is not responding to you. Yes, and actually also sisters, you can give charity. When you feel envy in your heart, you can go ahead and give charity. Why to give charity? Because charity give purification to the heart. We will read about the effect of charity regarding the purification of the heart from Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse number 106. بسم الله الرحيم خذ أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها وصل عليهم إن صلاتك سكن لهم والله سميع عليم.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Take sadaqah from their wealth in order to purify them and sanctify them with it, and invoke Allah for them. Verily, your invocations are a source of security for them, and Allah is all-hearer, all-knower.
Actually, sister, the last medicine for the envious heart is to supplicate to Allah to purify your heart from envy towards any fellow Muslims. This supplication is mentioned in the Quran in Surah number 59, verse 8, 9, and 10. This is a very important supplication for every Muslim to learn and to repeat whenever you feel envy. Okay, whenever Shaitan whispers to you to feel envy, immediately you mention this supplication. We will read from Surah number 59, verse 8, 9, and 10. Read inshallah verse 8, 9, and 10. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And there is also a share in this booty for the poor immigrants who were expelled from their homes and their property, seeking bounties from Allah and to please Him, and helping Allah and His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, share are indeed the truthful. And those who before them had homes in Al-Madina and had adopted the faith, love those who immigrate to them, and have no jealousy in their breasts for that which they have been given, and given them preference over themselves, even though they were in need of that. And whosoever is saved from his own covetousness, such are they who will be the successful. And those who came after them say, Our Lord, forgive us and our brethren who have preceded us in faith, and put not in our hearts any hatred against those who have believed. Our Lord, you are indeed full of kindness, most merciful.
Actually, sisters, in these verses of the Quran, Allah is informing us about three bright pictures of the Muslim community at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the generation that was to follow. The true believers who have hearts full of faith, love, care, compassion, no place for envy or hatred. Let us learn these three pictures, sisters. Why? So that you can compare the hearts of the believers and how they choose Allah and they choose to obey Allah and how this will make them actually those whom they are the winners. Okay, today we learn about a winner in the worldly life, but he is the true loser in the hereafter. Now we will learn about the true winners in the worldly life and in the hereafter, because actually they win the belief in Allah, and the belief in Allah actually is the light for the heart in this life. And through the belief in Allah, you will win the worldly life, and inshallah you will win the paradise. So as true believers in the oneness of Allah, as we learn about envy, I will all the time remember these three bright pictures, and I will always compare them with those billionaires whom they lose the belief in Allah in the worldly life, and they lose everything. Rather, those are the ones whom they win everything. So I will always try to remind myself with these three pictures of the true believers, and I will try to have the characters of those believers, so that inshallah I always support myself, support my spirit. Inshallah, you are the winner in this life and in the life to come. I am in the race of the believers. I am not deceived by the enjoyments of the worldly life. I will not be deceived by the life of Steve Jobs or any of those billionaires, because I know the truth, and the truth is that I am a winner so long I am a believer in the oneness of Allah. The first picture, which is mentioned in verse number 8, actually those whom they were forced to flee their hometown Mecca with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam under the pressure and oppression by their own people. They committed no crime other than believing in Allah alone. They left their homes and possessions for the sake of their belief. They migrated, having with them only their pure believing hearts. You see, sisters, these are, you know, whom they are called the poor immigrants. Why they were poor? Because actually they were expelled from their homes and their property. They left everything. They left everything for the sake of the worldly life, for the sake of the prestige, for the sake of the career, for the sake of the wealth. No. For the sake of pleasing Allah the Lord and helping Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is giving them actually the title that they are the truthful. Actually, if you want to be one of those people, you must always question yourself regarding your belief in Allah. In reality, myself, the belief in Allah is the most important priority in my life. For the sake of my belief in Allah, I can leave my home, I can leave my wealth, I can leave my family, or never. Okay, this is the question for every one of us. Now, so that you can realize how deep was the belief in the hearts of those poor immigrants. This is, sisters, the reality of the belief in Allah. The belief in Islam is not a word. The belief in Islam is a belief. The belief or the faith in Islam actually is to believe and then to prove with the deeds. Not just words and words, and there are no deeds. Okay, the second example, actually, or the second picture, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, bright picture, is that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, those are the people of the Medina. Actually, this is the Medina, is the city of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And actually, we don't find in the human history an event similar to the reception given by the people of the Medina to those poor immigrants whom they immigrate to them from Mecca. They happily shared their properties with their immigrant brothers, competing with each other in offering them their homes. They never feel envy towards them. Actually, sisters, let us compare those people, the people of the Medina. What is the reality of the people of the Medina? The reality of the event is that there are poor immigrants whom they are immigrating from Mecca to Medina with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. What was actually how was the reception for them? It is the best reception done in the history, because it is the reception of the hearts. the hearts of the people of the Medina, their hearts were looking forward for those to come from Mecca, poor. They were coming very poor. So they were willing to actually share with them everything, and they were competing, you know, for taking care of them. For example, you see, if there were 30 people in Medina and 20 are coming from Mecca, they were trying for everyone in Medina to have one from Mecca to live with him. And not only to live with him, if I have a house and in my house there are two bedrooms, one of them is big and more beautiful than the other one, I will offer that better bedroom for the one coming from the Medina, from Mecca. I will not keep it for myself. Try to imagine, sisters, nowadays, can we find people whom they are having hearts than this? There are people like this nowadays? Do you think so?
I don't think so.
You don't think so. Do you think so?
No.
No. Do you think so?
No.
Do you think so?
A few, but not as many as there should be.
No, very, very little. I have different point from you. I agree with that. Mostly, no. To offer other people whom you don't know at all, there are no really, and they are poor. Maybe they are not so clean. Maybe they don't look.
Two to three percent out of 100.
But
maybe
they still exist. They're just not.
They must exist. No, I tell you, they must exist. This is the rule. But the problem is not to exist. The problem is that if they are so little, what will be the future of the Muslims? You know, this is the issue. The issue is not in every 100,000 I will find three people whom they can offer, you know, for the others better than what I am looking for myself. These three people cannot take care of the community. Those three people cannot take care of Islam, you know. The majority is the reality, okay? And this is the majority nowadays, according to most of the sisters. So actually, sisters also, they never feel envy towards those immigrants when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving them special treatment. When those immigrants immigrated to Medina, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was giving them, you know, more of what he has, you know, from his battles. Suppose he will have wealth of whatever, he was always giving to those immigrants because they were poor more than the people of the Medina. The people of the Medina never feel envy towards them, you know. In spite of the fact sometimes they were in need, but also they never feel envy. Accordingly, Allah is actually calling them, they are the true successful. Okay, the third example or the third picture of those Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, people whom they have the good hearts. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, before mentioning to you, sister, about the third picture, I must mention to you a very important Quranic rule. This Quranic rule is mentioned in Surah number 9. I want you to know this Quranic rule, because actually, sister, this is very important for every one of you to know her reality. Okay, I want you to read it again, Celia. I want you to read from and, start with and. And whoever.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And whosoever is saved from his own covetousness, such are they who will be the successful.
Yes. You know, sisters, what is the meaning of this Quranic rule? Actually, we must learn that goodness means giving in one way or another. If you want to say, I am a good person, you must check yourself. Are you giving or not? Are you giving money? Are you giving love? Are you giving emotions? Are you giving effort? Are you giving time? Okay, a person with greed cannot do what is good, because he always wants to take and not to give. If you want to evaluate any human being, okay, try to observe that human being for 5 minutes. And actually, for me now, all praise to Allah, because I communicate with a lot of people, it takes from me 3 minutes to know the reality, yes, of those people. Okay, all praise to Allah. Whenever you notice that, you know, I want to take. When you tell me, Sister Mona, do you have time that I talk with you? No, I am very busy. Dr. Mona, can you come with me for this? Actually, I have other issues. Dr. Mona, can you participate with us for $5? No, inshallah, next time. So giving is out of my dictionary. My dictionary is to take anything, whatever, even something which is very simple. I will take it. Okay, those are the people whom they don't have goodness in their spirits. Okay, because goodness means giving, you know, the desire and the wish to give. You know, I am coming here to give. I never want to take. I don't want to take anything. Don't give me anything. Okay, try to have this feeling. Otherwise, you are not from the good people. Okay, whom they are always willing to give and not to take. The third picture, okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the third pride picture is the pride of the group of the people whom they will come, you know, after those. Allah is mentioning here, and those who came after them. When this verse was revealed, those people were not yet around. Okay, because this verse of the Quran was revealed while Prophet Muhammad was still alive. Okay, those whom they came after him, he never sees them. But Allah knows about them. Okay, those are the ones whom their main feature is that they would appeal to Allah for forgiveness. Not only for themselves, but also for the believers who went ahead of them. They would also appeal to Allah to free them from any envy or hatred against those who have believed in Allah. So you see, sister, this is the supplication, is that you must all the time have that supplication in your heart. O Allah, put not in our hearts any hatred or envy against those who have believed. Okay, all the time have this supplication in your spirit. O Allah, put not in our heart. O Allah, put not in our heart any envy or hatred towards any of the believers. Inshallah, Allah will answer your supplication. So whenever you notice that some of the believers, Allah is actually favoring them with wealth, with health, with kids, all the time you remember your supplication, O Allah, put not in our heart any envy or hatred towards other believers, because you need all the time to have your heart clean so that Allah the Almighty will be pleased with you, and Allah will shower you with His mercy, and Allah will shower you with the most important feeling, which is the feeling of being content with Allah's decree and thankful all the time for Allah, for His blessings. Inshallah, we will finish with this regarding the medicines for the envious hearts. And from next week, inshallah, we will start with the evil eye, okay, the types of the evil eye and how to cure and how to protect and whatever related, because actually the evil eye is related to envy. And inshallah, we will start with the evil eye next week, and let us inshallah make the dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good